You are Locked On Nets, your daily podcast on the Brooklyn Nets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Keep the trump blasting, toe tagging, I'm riding past them. Before you let them ride with the team, you got to ask them, who got snaps on the Petro? Keep it real, don't front, yo.
How's everybody doing? Welcome to the Locked On Nets podcast. I'm your host, David Wurzberger, coming fresh off that Nets blowout loss to the Bulls. With me today, I'm going to be talking to Sean Hyken of The Athletic Chicago. We were on press row together, and so we huddled up in the photo room to discuss more so the general state of these teams, because this game was a blowout start to finish, really. The Bulls went on a tear in the first quarter and just kind of controlled it the rest of the way. No one really played well for the Nets, maybe outside of Jeremy Lin. Rough outing. But as I say in the conversation, this is one of those games the Nets are just going to have when you don't have as much talent as other teams. It's not something to overreact from. It's not something to make a change in starting lineup. Fourth game of the season against a clearly superior team. I'm surprised this didn't happen sooner. But before we get to the conversation, if you're enjoying the podcast, please consider leaving a 5-star rating on iTunes. That really helps us out. You can also subscribe there and keep track of future episodes. So do consider that. And now let's get to our talk with Sean Hyken.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, so Verts, that was a pretty interesting game. I mean, I don't know about good necessarily, but that was a game.
Yeah, not the most exciting, you know. Could have. I think the most exciting part for the crowd was Dwayne Wade garbage time schooling Bojan Bogdanovic out there like it was an and one mixtape or something. The crowd was rising to their feet every time Wade brought it up the court.
That was hilarious because he would, like, in the fourth quarter, first of all, I have no idea why Wade was in that game. Yeah. They went into the fourth quarter up by, like, what, they're up by, like, 20, 25, 27,
plus, yeah,
something like that. There's no way. I mean, even I know the Nets almost came back from 23 down against the Celtics, but that was not happening tonight. But so I don't know why Wade was even in, but when he was in, he was getting shots up. He was getting his garbage time stats padded.
Yeah, it was a
veteran move.
That was, yeah. Yeah, he had a three earlier in the game. That was, I guess, the highlight as far as funness. The rest of the game was pretty sloppy and just a total blowout. I wonder if this game says more about where the Bulls are or where the Nets are.
I feel like the answer to that question is that it says more about the Nets because, I mean, the Bulls, here's the thing. They've looked a lot better than I thought they would look, and, you know, the chemistry seems good, everybody's getting along, the vibes are good, but they played the Celtics on the second night of a back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
They played the Pacers on the second night of a back-to-back, and
That was the second?
The game where they blew out the Pacers was a back-to-back.
I didn't know that.
The Pacers were on a back-to-back after the Nets game, actually.
Oh, wow, okay.
And then they beat the Nets, which is a team that, you know, you would think they just should beat. But, So you know, their game that they have on Wednesday in Boston is actually the first one where I'm going to look at that and say, okay, this is a good team on the road, not on a back-to-back. So if they can win that game, then that's going to be the first time I'm going to really feel like the Bulls have, like, shown something that, you know, you can build off of long-term and feel like, okay, I can actually make declarations about this team, because I wonder if they're just beating teams that are worse than them.
Yeah, I agree. And when it comes to the Nets, I feel like this is sort of their first falling down to earth game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is where people expected the Nets to be. Like, you look at their first three games, you know, you lose by 20 to Boston. They did come back late in the game. I'm not sure if you could really count that. You know, third stringers come in, Celtics aren't really trying. But, you know, you lose to Boston by 20. Okay, they're a really good team, probably second best in the East. All right. You beat Indiana, which was
projected to be a playoff team.
Yeah, that was a really...
Got Paul George, and we were talking about this on press row during the game. Paul George is the second best player in the Eastern Conference, right?
Probably.
Because I feel like he is.
Yeah, so the Nets beat that team and then challenged the Bucks on the road without Brook Lopez. So you look at that and people are like, oh, hey, this Nets team, and you know what, I put them at 26 wins.
And plus just the idea that, you know, now they got a GM that's from the Spurs organizational tree, and they have a coach in Kenny Atkinson who's like praised for developing young players, and they signed Jeremy Lin who has a relationship with Kenny Atkinson, and they have some young guys, and you know, there's kind of a little bit of buzz of like, hey, this team isn't going to be good, but they're going to be fun.
They are most definitely going to be fun, and they're going to try hard, and they have this weird
The talent is just not there.
Right. They have this camaraderie there. I think that's pretty evident. And so, you know, this Nets team, this was their falling down to earth game. I put them at 26 wins and caught some flack for it. People thought I was going too high on that, but you know what?
I think that's too high.
They can outwork some teams, and they're going to shoot the hell out of that three ball. And you know what? They shot, what, like 30 of them tonight? Missed most of them, but on a night where those do fall, because they don't have great shooters. They do have some streaky shooters. Like Boyan can get hot. Sean Kilpatrick can get hot. Jeremy Lin can get hot. Justin Hamilton can get hot. And it's going to, like, the Nets are going to have a lot of these games, but they're also going to have a decent amount of games where they just come in and start burying threes against a way superior team and win, which is what they kind of did against Indiana, even though they also played some pretty good defense then, too.
I have to say, I was encouraged that the Bulls actually won this game. Not that it was ever really close, but this was a thing last year, and this is something that they like to harp on, was that they were 7-1 in the 8 games that they played against Cleveland and Toronto, which were the top two teams in the East last year, and they still didn't make the playoffs. And the reason they didn't make the playoffs is because too many times during the year, they would just lose games to, like, Phoenix and these teams that are clearly not as good as them or as talented as them that they should beat. So far this year, they've been just taken care of. And even if they won these games last year against these worst teams, they would, like, let them hang around and just not put them away. Tonight, they just never let the Nets. They got up of that big lead in the first quarter and just never let Brooklyn get back in. It was never a game after, like, the middle of the first quarter.
No, it wasn't even close. And, you know, you can go pretty far just beating up on bad teams. So that's something to watch with Chicago. You know, I think the most interesting conversation we had on Press Row was, is Anthony Bennett the worst first overall pick of all time?
When he checked in, like, I remember that they signed him this summer, but, like, he actually made the team.
Yeah.
And he's actually getting minutes. I know it was a blowout, but he was getting minutes, and it's like, yeah, that is the worst. Because, I mean, okay, even, who are the other – like, the other recent contenders, Greg Oden was a generational talent and just could never stay healthy. Like, that wasn't a bad pick based on talent. Andrea Bargnani, like, as much as he's become a punchline, he had a couple of good years in Toronto before his career just completely fell off a cliff. Anthony Bennett, you know, never played his first – barely played his first year in Cleveland. It was, like, famously, it took him, like, 10 games into the season to even have a game where he scored 10 points. And it was just miserable. Like, he had to delete his Twitter. And then he gets traded to the Timberwolves and is part of the Andrew Wiggins, Kevin Love trade.
Right.
Doesn't do anything there. And then he goes to Toronto, which was supposed to be, hey, I'm coming home. Like, he's Canadian. He's going to go back to Toronto, and he's going to do well there. He's got a coach there that he likes, and didn't do anything there. He got bought out in the middle of the season.
Yeah, it's been a rocky road. And, you know, it's funny you brought up Oden because, like, I feel like Bennett is just going to keep hanging around as that sort of guy that teams say, oh, he was drafted first overall. Maybe we can, you know, this is a reclamation project for us. Which the Nets are, like, the third team he's saying just, that.
Yeah, it's...
You know? It's a rough situation. I mean, like, if the Cavs took... Who else was in the draft? Like, Victor Oladipo was the obvious pick, I think, at the time.
Was he? Well, see, that was a weird draft, because that was Michael Carter-Williams won rookie, and we'll get to him in a second, because he had a knee injury. That was the only real news.
Yeah, what is the status on that, by the way?
So Hoiberg said, and for those of you who don't know, in the first half, Michael Carter-Williams went down holding his knee, his left knee. He left. I should note he was walking under his own power.
Yes.
He didn't have to be helped off. He wasn't even, like, being held by any trainers. He walked up. He was obviously limping, but he walked off by himself, so that's a good sign. The Bulls said during the game that he was ruled out for the game with a knee injury. Fred Hoiberg said afterwards that they were calling it a knee sprain, which is usually just what they call those kinds of
things. Until they actually check the MRI.
But they said he's going to get an MRI tomorrow when they get to Boston, so we will know more then, and I will have a Locked on Bulls episode for you guys then once we actually know what his injury is. But for now, you know, I would imagine, if I had to guess, I think he probably is not going to play against the Celtics on Wednesday. I don't know about beyond that. It'll just all depend on what the MRI says. But, like, yeah, that's not great. And I'll be interested to see, let's say he does miss a little bit of time, what they do as far as who gets those backup point guard minutes, because Isaiah Cannon played a lot tonight and he shot the ball well, but he's more of like, he's not really a point guard as much as he's like the Aaron Brooks type guy that just comes in off the bench.
And he's wearing Aaron Brooks' number too, to make it even more appropriate.
Like he just, you know, comes off the bench and gets buckets.
Speaking of point guards.
But so I think Denzel Valentine maybe will get his actual shot, because he only really played in garbage time the last two games, but I think, you know, if MCW is out for a while, they do like Denzel running the point. And I think maybe now that he's got a couple practices in, he's gotten a couple games in garbage time, like maybe Fred will feel more comfortable bringing him in and actually playing him real minutes running the offense.
Yeah, I can see that happening. But, you know, you mentioned running the point. Nets fans, well, first of all, Lynn, another pretty solid game.
He looks good.
Yeah, he's, you know, he's been sort of four games in, he's had, like, one great game. This one was pretty good. And he had a sort of meh and bad game. A little all over the place. We'll see maybe 20 games in how that stabilizes. But we saw Isaiah Whitehead. I'm convinced he's going to be a good NBA player despite he had a bad night. I mean, Vasquez is out. Atkinson says it's a day-to-day situation, so we're not really sure when he's going to get back. It's a sore ankle. But, you know, Whitehead, he sees things an NBA point guard should see, and he tries on defense, and he has skills. Like, it's not like he missed two wide open threes today, but that's more of, I don't know, nerves or something, because we've seen him hit three. Like, he can shoot the three. I think he's going to be a good player, and I think this is one of those things, second-round pick. Nets fans need to be patient, you know, with guys like him and McCullough. And I'm glad we got to see extended minutes to him, even though it was because of the injury. But McCullough did play a lot in the fourth quarter because of the blowout, and I feel like with the Nets, if they're going to get killed in games like these, which it's going to happen, it's not a big deal. Like, this team doesn't have a ton
of talent.
Nobody
ever thought they were going to make the playoffs anyway.
No, no. I mean, they're going to have a handful of these games. Throw out the young guys, give them some good playing time, give them some game reps. I think that helps, even if we don't see a ton of improvement over doing that. I think that's the way to go. But we also said something else about the Nets, was that Doug McDermott would be the best prospect on this team, right?
He would be. I think it's like not, that's not even a question. Like, who's even the competition? Rondae Hollis-Jefferson.
Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, yeah.
And he hasn't really done much yet. He can't shoot. He's a good defender. I like his. He's one of those guys that looks like he should be a good NBA player.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's been four games into the season.
And I know he had some injuries last year, so he missed a lot of time.
Yeah, there hasn't been much improvement on his game, it seems like, over these first four games. We're going to have to watch more, obviously. This is a small sample size, but I'm hoping we see a little bit more maybe on the defensive end, you know, maybe making less of those rookie mistakes. He's still a bit all over the place, but he recovers so well because he's an absolute freak, which I love about him.
Mm-hmm.
Offensively, you know, the mid-range shot sort of had it going last year, kind of has it going this year. Just a small sample size. I just feel like he hasn't stuck out on this Nets roster, which is a problem because there's not a whole lot else to look at.
Do you think they're going to trade Brook at some point?
Yeah, no, I've mentioned it on my podcast. He's gone. I like not. This isn't me saying I have sources saying I know what they're going to do, but like, it just makes 150% like logical sense for them to move him by the trade deadline.
But here's the thing, what are you going to get for him? Because he's making $20 million a year, which I know that's not a bad contract for
a
starting center. But the thing you have to think about is, in order to trade for a player who's making as much money as Brook Lopez, you need to send out the same amount of money to match the salaries. And how many teams have enough pieces that they're willing to trade that also need a player like Brook Lopez? Like, the thing with Lopez, and it's the same reason that the Bucks have had so much trouble trying to unload Greg Monroe. Is you, as a big man who can't protect the rim and doesn't really have athleticism, like, you have to put him next to, like, if you put Brook Lopez next to Anthony Davis, that would be like the ideal fit for him. But
I think the Nets can maybe get some expirings that sort of come up to $20 million that they can sort of just get rid of off the books and get like a pick with that. Maybe a late first round, mid first round, something like that. Maybe an intriguing young guy that's not a definite good prospect, but someone that's interesting.
Sure.
Yeah, that's what I'd see. So I have you on here. You know, you're a Bulls guy. Let's make this trade right now. I will trade. What do you want for Brook Lopez?
See, I think that Bulls don't really need Brook Lopez.
No.
That's
Robin fits really well.
Robin has been fantastic.
Yeah.
He's, he's doing exactly what you ask of Robin Lopez to do. He will, you know, he rebounds, he protects the rim.
He's going to go his whole career being that guy that just he keeps getting shipped away. And like every fan, and then just because whatever he's on a new team, he's like, oh, he's perfect. He fits in great. And
well,
then,
right,
but then
he was
again.
Well, right, because he was really solid in Portland. He was really solid with the Knicks last year. He's been solid so far.
Chicago.
Phoenix. He's like the only guy, because you know how usually like the joke is with the Suns training staff being what it is, where like Grant Hill has all these injury problems, Steve Nash has all these injury problems, yeah. And then they go to Phoenix and they suddenly do it. Robin was the only guy that I can think of who, when he was in Phoenix early on in his career, he could never stay healthy. And then he gets to New Orleans, and he's been super durable ever since then.
You threw me a question about Brook Lopez. I'm careening off a different topic here because
we can't talk about this game. This game was just awful.
There's nothing happening. I will say real fast for the Nets fans listening. Like, this isn't a big deal. The Nets are going to have these games. Like, there's no – you shouldn't have any, like, crazy reactions to this. But let me ask you this, Sean.
Okay.
Who's the better point guard right now, Rajon Rondo or Jeremy Lin?
I would rather have Lin.
I agree.
I think Lin's better. But at the same time, like, it's really difficult to overstate the impact that Rondo has had in terms of like the locker room and all that stuff. I mean, so that's all that stuff in terms of who you want on your team. And Lin's a great teammate too. So.
Yeah.
But I mean, who's a better player right now? I think it's Jeremy Lin. And I don't think it's close.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Oh, well, I agree with you. I don't know. So what kind of impact has Rondo had on the locker room? I mean, on the court, it seems like he's sort of touch and go defensively.
He's been engaged a little bit.
At times. Yeah. At times. I mean, Jeremy Lin kind of cooked him. At some points in this game, but, you know, his passing's still there, obviously. It seems like he's looking for a shot a little bit more than in past years.
Yeah, I think tonight was probably his best scoring night with the Bulls, easily. So
That's not saying a lot.
He had, what, 10, 12 points?
Yeah.
But now, as far as his impact in the locker room, like, every single player on the team has just raved about, you know, he comes in. He was in here in August, like, working out with guys. He's been super talkative. He's been, like, pointing out things to guys in the film room. He's all about finding guys easy shots, making guys push the pace a little bit.
That's good.
He's you know, he's basically the exact kind of point guard. I mean, he can't, besides the fact that he can't shoot, he's the exact kind of point guard that should be playing in like a Fred Hoiberg offense.
Well, there you have it. We gotta go. It's late.
Yeah.
We don't want to be in this building anymore. Sean, plug yourself for the Nets fans listening, and then I'm gonna plug myself for the Bulls fans listening.
That sounds good. So you can read my work at The Athletic, which is theathletic.com. It costs money, I should point out, but if you want to read,
it's worth it.
It's worth it. But not only is it worth it to read my stuff, which I mean, I think my stuff is okay.
Yes,
but
take my word for it.
But I would say that, you know, we have a couple other markets. We have Toronto. We have Eric Kareen writing about the Raptors, which he's one of the best. He's been covering that team for many years. He's great.
Yep.
We have
Danny LaRue
doing the Warriors.
Yeah.
And then, you know, in other sports, you know, we've got the Cubs in the World Series right now. So, obviously, Chicago, we got Sahad of Sharma and John Greenberg on that beat. That's where you can find me. You can follow me on Twitter @Hyken, subscribe to Locked On Bulls, and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. And then, so Vert, do you want to plug yourself?
You should do all those things. You can find me on Twitter @_Verts.
You got to get rid of the underscore.
Okay, so it's some French guy. Some guy in France has @Verts.
Does he tweet?
Enough to that his account can't be deactivated. And I've tweeted at him, like, dude, can I have this account? And he's like, no. My friends have always called me Verts, and his name's like Chris Green or something. I don't know where Verts comes from.
Maybe he has a high vertical.
What about Verts NBA? Would that be bad?
No, don't do that. Don't put literally every blogger
it's kinda lame.
Puts NBA in their name to make themselves look like an expert.
David Verts? Is that like, I don't know.
I mean, we'll
work on it. Yeah, okay. So find me on Twitter @_Verts. I'm sorry about the underscore. I don't know why I came up with that. That was probably when I was like 13 or something.
As opposed to like 15.
I am writing about the NBA at Vice Sports and another undisclosed website because I haven't exactly written there yet. I just have a pitch that's approved. I'm freelancing around. You can read my stuff. I have some hot takes on my Twitter.
They're pretty hot,
I gotta say. I think that's about it. Go subscribe to Locked On Nets. Leave a 5-star rating on iTunes because those really help out. Yeah.
All right, so I will be back with the Locked On Bulls from Boston tomorrow. So take it easy, guys.
Have a good one.
Way I move, I'ma always let me get it one time. Don't fake the funk, keep it real, don't fake the funk. Let me see them heads high. Don't fake the funk.